All right, so we're going to be beginning the sixth parak, Ketz and Nevarchim. We've talked about Shema, we've talked about Shemona Esrei, and now we're going to be talking about brachas on food. The subject of this parak is mostly the brachas before food. The next parak is going to be dealing with the dinim of Birkas Hamazon and going from there. So Mishnah starts off, Ketzad Nevarchim al haperis. How do we make brachas on fruit or produce in general? You're trying to point out, starting with Tosfos, that we have to figure out, you know, at the beginning of the Masechta, for example, we said Me'emes Tayin Shema B'Arvin, from when we lay in Shema in the evenings. In other words, it kind of presupposed that you do have to say Shema in the evenings, and the only question is where. And we asked, where does he get that from? We said because it's of Shach V'Chol Kumecha. So over here, you would have to ask. I mean, the Gemara is going to deal with the question, but where exactly are we getting the idea from in the first place that we have to make brachas on food, that we can now be asking which brachas do we say on them? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that the Gemara is going to end up saying it's a svara, it's a logical thing that you have to say a bracha before you're going to enjoy something from Hashem's world. Another possibility, Tosfos. Because the Gemara is going to try to see if there's a different derivation. We're going to try to see if there's some other way of deriving it. First, the Gemara is going to think there's a way of deriving it. Also, in the third paragraph, we talked about the case of a Baal Keri. You can't daven and learn Torah because it's Tachanos Ezra. And we said over there about making, we mentioned over there in the course of that Mishnah, we mentioned about making brachos after food versus before it. So we see from there, there's a concept of making brachos before food, and therefore our Tana is focusing on that. Rabbi Yonah says yet another one. Also, we also had in the first parak, we talked about the long format brachas and the short format brachas. Meaning, you have the kind where you have a whole paragraph and then it ends off with Baruch Atah Hashem such and such, like the ones before and after creation, for example. And then you have the ones which just are Baruch Atah Hashem such and such. So we mentioned that, and here the brachas on food are all of the second type. Okay. So Kate said Mavoch on our Peres. So how do we make brachas on Peres? What are the various brachas for them? Flach, by the way, says an interesting thing. He says, why do we have such Peres? We're going to mention all kinds of things in the Mishnah. I mean, on the simple sense, Peres just means produce, so it means anything that the world produces. So it can mean things that grow directly from the ground. It can be things that indirectly grow from the ground, like meat, which comes from animals which feed on grass or whatever, although the Flach says that we start with Peres because they have a certain importance to them. We find Hashem told Adam Arishin that you can eat any vegetation that comes from the ground, but in that, Hashem says, you're exactly on the same level as the animals. They're allowed to eat it, so are you. Then in the second Peres, Hashem tells Adam, who in turn tells Chava, whatever, you can eat from any of the trees in the garden except from the Eitz Hadas. So you see, that's the trees are something uniquely for human people, for human beings, and therefore, yeah. So I'll pay them.
I don't see animals picking for trees.
Right, but they right. I mean, because the fact is, once it was allowed, then it was allowed for everybody. But Hashem says it like it's something specific to Adam as opposed to grass and other things that grow from the ground. Hashem says that I'm giving it to you as well as to all the animals, etc. Okay, so I'll pay them to Ilun or Omer Bird of Tree Ha'et. You say on tree fruits, you say Bird of Tree Ha'et, Chutz Min Ayayin, except for wine. Shal Ayayin Omer Bird of Tree Ha'gofen. Wine is more important. Therefore, the Chachamim set up a special bracha for it. So on it, you say Bird of Tree Ha'gofen. Blessed is Hashem who created the fruit of the vine.
If you got your fruit in pieces and you eat a piece of it, what do you
do? Doesn't matter, you still make the same bracha. But we're going to talk about detailed dinim we'll get into in the Gemara over the whole pattern. But yeah, why would cut up fruit is no different than regular fruit. You might better ask if you mash it. For example, applesauce. We'll get to that. Okay. Valpera sa'aras u'omer bo'er priha adama. For fruit from the ground, you say bo'er priha adama, chutz min apas, except for bread. Bread after all grows from wheat, which grows from the ground. Shal apas u'omer amoti lachem min ha'aretz. On bread, you say amoti lachem min ha'aretz. On vegetables, meaning the difference between peres ha'aretz and yirokos is basically, and Mefoshim should talk about the different details exactly, but basically peres ha'aretz would be where you're eating the actual fruit of the plant, for example, tomatoes, cucumbers, whereas yirokos would be things where you're eating the leaves of them, for example, like lettuce, cabbage, that sort of thing. So on Yerokas also you say who Omer Bird Priya Adama, you also say Bird Priya Adama. Rabbi Yehuda says no. On those you say Bird Minid Shoyim. On those you say a separate bracha, Bird Minid Shoyim, that Hashem creates various kinds of herbs. We're going to see it in the Gemara eventually. What? Well, we don't, because Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda holds basically that you need, a separate bracha for each major category. The Chachamim are saying you can lump everything that grows in the ground that doesn't grow from a tree together under the bracha of Baruch Tree Ha'adamah. Rabbi Yehuda says you need to divide them out into separate things. Do you notice, by the way, there's one common bracha on food that's missing in our Mishnah? Charcoal, actually, that's true. That's actually, then I should say, there are two missing. Charcoal we're going to actually deal with in the next Mishnah. But the other one that our Mishnah is missing is Mizonos.
Yeah, Mizonos is not really manufactured.
Well, so is bread. So actually, the Pnei Yeshua says that because the Gemara wants to mention brachos over here that cover a broad range of things. Mizonos is specific only to Mizonos. So like this, the Mishnah had mentioned Berit Priya Eitz, which covers all different kinds of tree fruits. Berit Priya Hadamah, which covers all kinds of vegetables and whatever, and then you have, okay, Rabbi Yehuda arguing and saying you have to be more specific. But
I heard some people say that Mizonos, you're not supposed to say Mizonos.
No, you're definitely supposed to say Mizonos. There are definitely cases that you have to say Mizonos, and we'll learn about one of them in the Gemara today, that's the Shem, and then we'll learn more as we go through the Perek. Now, what you're talking about is people say that, for example, that there's no such thing as a Mizonos roll, let's say, for example, because if you're eating it as a roll, as the main part of your meal, you should be washing for it. That's a good point, and actually, well, we'll talk about that as we go along. So the Gemara starts off with Minahan and Yidin. Where do we know this, that you have to say a bracha before food? So like this, the Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes how you have the 3 years when a tree is Orla, and then the fourth year, the Pasuk says, the fruit is Neter Revai, it has much the same dinim as Maitre Sheni, you have to take it to your Shalayim and eat it, etc. And the Pasuk calls it Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, holiness of praise to Hashem. So praise means Malam Jitun Bracha Lefnei Malacharem. So we see that you need a bracha before and after you eat the produce. Mikan Amar Rabbi Akiva, also the Adam Shiatim Klum Kodim Shiavaris. Based on this, Rabbi Akiva says that a person is not allowed to taste anything before he makes a bracha. Okay, thus far the Braisa, now let's analyze it. Bahai Kodesh Hilulim Lahochi Udasa. You're telling me the word Kodesh Hilulim come to teach us that? We need that for a whole different purpose. The Amar Achmana, the Torah is telling us, Achlei Vahodar Achlei. Achle with a ches, meaning first deconsecrate it, take the kedusha of it off onto something else, and only then eat it. In other words, my Neter Revai has much the same dinim as Maaser Sheni, where just like Maaser Sheni, if you want to eat it in your shalayim, then you do, and if you can't take it to your shalayim because it's too much or to spoil and you're not going there anytime soon, etc., then you convert it to cash, you machal it on coins, and then you take the coins to your shalayim and you use them to buy food, and the original food itself becomes holding. So you need the word kodesh hilulim, the hay of hilulim, we darshan like a ches, noshan chilul. And therefore, we say that it means that it's holy, but you can redeem it. You can deconsecrate it, and then behadur achlay, and then you can eat it anywhere you want, including outside of your shalayim. Or actually, you have two, rather. When we say kodesh hilulim, chad dam rachmanah, so like this, hilulim is plural. So therefore, it means that the Torah is telling us two different dinim involving hilul. So one is we take the hay and change it to a ches, and it becomes hilul. Although actually, the Rashba brings from the Raivet and the Pnei Yeshua expands on it, that we don't even necessarily need to take away, we don't even necessarily need to convert the hay to a ches. The Chacham often do that in Drashas, because a hay and a ches look and sound very similar. But the Raivet says that you really don't need that. At the time of Chilul, you automatically have a Chilul, you automatically have a Bracha. The Pnei Yeshua explains, because when you're being Bechal, that you're accomplishing a mitzvah, you say Bracha on the mitzvah, so automatically. Chilul is that you take the Kedusha of something and exchange it for something else, and then put the Kedusha onto something else, and the original thing becomes Chulin.
So what does that have to do with a bracha?
That has to do with Netzer. No, that's the point. We're saying it doesn't have to. We're saying that Kodesh Hilulim does not teach us you have to make a bracha before and after. One Hilul teaches us the word Hilul, that you need to take off the Kedusha of it before you're going to eat it outside your shalayim. The Idach, and the other Hilul we learn is Davar Aton, Shir Aton Hilul. Something which involves a shira, when you offer it in the Beis Mikdash, then and on the Mizbeach, then you sing songs to Hashem, which is wine. Only that ton chilul has to be deconsecrated before you can eat it outside your shalayim. V'she'en a ton shira, ain't a ton halo, but other produce. So in other words, only grapes. In other words, the point is we're saying only grapes from which wine is made have the din of Neter Revai. where do we see that only wine has a shira on it when they offer it on the mizbeach? V'chidur Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, like Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yonasan, like Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni says in the name of Rav Yonasan, do Omer Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yonasan, minayin she'en enu shira el al yayin, from where do we know that when we're offering something on the mizbeach, only when wine is offered are we singing a shira? Shenema, because you have a pasuk, the Vatomelam is part of a marshal, that Yosam is saying over there after all his brothers were killed, and he's saying that they took an unqualified person to be king, his brother Avimelech. So he says, Vatomelam Agefen, so he describes that marshal, the trees are going to ask to look for a king for themselves, they ask the grapevine. So Vatomelam Agefen, the grapevine says to them, what do you want? I should be your king? Do you want that I should stop giving my wine, which makes Hashem and people happy? So in other words, I turned down the job. So what do you mean? Iman noshem esameach, halakim amam esameach. Okay, wine makes people happy. Where do we see it makes Hashem happy? Mikan she'enem emshira el al yayin. So here we see that when things are being offered on the mizbeach, only when wine is being offered do we say a shira, which, so to speak, makes Hashem happy. So we see from that, therefore, teaches us, number one, about the whole concept of that you can transfer the kedusha of it onto money, and that you have to do that if you want to eat outside your shulayim. Number two, that the din apply that's chivul instead of hivul, right? And the other one is that the whole din of neter avai applies only to grapes, that is.
Grapes or wine?
Well, grapes and then the wine that's made from them. And say they have the same thing. So now we're still in the middle of the question. We haven't even finished the question yet. But the point is, Rabbi Akiva wants to tell us in the Braita that the word hilulim means praises in the plural, and therefore it means a bracha before and after. But we're already using that for a different drasha. So actually, the Gemara says hanicha l'mandatoni neter avai. That actually we can also say that. This that you're saying that you want to learn from Kurdish Hilulim, that you say a bracha, that would work out well according to the opinion that says that the whole concept of fourth year produce of a tree applies to all different kinds of trees. So then we can say, according to him, obviously he disagrees with the second Rasha. He doesn't hold that it applies only to grapes and their products. Therefore, he has one extra Hilul available. Good. So it teaches us a bracha before. But what about according to the opinion that says Kerem Revai, who says that it applies only to grapes? So then he's learning it precisely from that point, that Hilulim means only something which you praise Hashem for, namely grapes and wine.
Why can't we use it
because the Gemara is going to use Vachata Sabbat soon, but the Gemara is right now assuming that the Gemara hasn't even gotten to that yet. We're assuming for the moment that Vachata Sabbat refers only to bread. You make an after bracha on bread. First of all, that's an after bracha. We're trying to deal with the before bracha. Re'achalta v'sabalta v'rachta. It's talking about a bracha after, when it's not a bracha before.
Yeah, 1 second. Re'achalta means on any type of food.
Okay, that's the bottom line is, it refers only to a bracha after. We're trying to decide, where do we see that you make a bracha before?
That's when you're tzaveir, but you could say, I'm not saying that's the case, you could say, if you're not tzaveir, you could still...
Never mind that. It's true that you do that. It's true that midrabbanan you say the bracha even for only tzayis or kabeisa, but we're dealing with a bracha before. The achalta v'savalta v'rachta is in that order. V'rachta last. Where do you get from that you have a bracha before? So we're trying to find a source for the bracha before. So we're trying to learn it from Kodesh Hilulim, but again, only according to the opinion that says that Neser Avai, he says it applies to all trees, then you could have a Hilul available, but not according to the opinion Kerem Avai. And in fact, so where do we see there's a Machlokes on that? The Ismail, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon Berebi. Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon Berebi argue all over the place. Whenever in Mishnayos it mentions about the concept of Neser Avai, they argue what is the correct Girsa. Chad Tony Kerem Revai, but Chad Tony Neter Revai. One of them says that everywhere in the Mishnah where it says Neter Revai, it shouldn't be that. It should actually say Kerem Revai. It only applies to vineyards and nothing and no other kind.
Neter Revai is what?
We just said it means the produce of the fourth year. Neter Revai would mean it applies to any kind of tree. It applies to any kind of tree which is planted. Kerem Revai would mean it applies only to grapes. So you have a machlokes between them. So you have an opinion that it applies only to grapes. So according to him, therefore, you certainly have no derivation for a bracha because you've used the word hilulim you've broken down the word hilulim into its two components, hilul and hilul, and darshan both of them. One Again, one, that you have to take off the kedusha of the food before you eat it elsewhere, and two, that this concept applies only to grapes. So, and furthermore, we can continue the question like this. Now, even according to the opinion, who says that the din applies only to grapevines, only grapevines have this special din, and in the fourth year, you have to take their fruit to Yerushalayim, etc. So, honicha iyalif zera shava. If he instead uses a zera shava to say that, to learn that it applies only to grapes, rather than learning it from hilulim, then fine, he has one hilul available to teach us about a bracha. But if he learns like Zera Shava, the Tanya, Rebbe, namely, we learn a brisa that Rebbe says, where do we know that Kerem Revai applies only to grapes? We have the pasuk that says over here that you do this, you keep Ola for the third year, Nesa Revai for the fourth year, then in the fifth year you can eat the fruit however you like, to increase for you its produce. You have a different pasuk that mentions about Tulaya Kerem, that uses the word Tvua Sakorem, the produce of the vineyard. So we have a Gzeira Shava. So just like over there, it refers to a vineyard only. Here also it refers only to a vineyard. So then, Yasser Lechad Hilul Lebracha. So then, okay, then he has one Hilul available through the bracha, for the bracha. But the Ilo Yalef Gzeira Shava, but if that opinion that says that the din of fourth-year produce applies only to vines, only to grapevines and their products, grapes, if he doesn't learn that Zera Shava, and instead he insists that you have to learn that it applies only to grapes from the word Hilul, then Bracha Manale, then where is he learning the Bracha from? You said that we can learn the Bracha from Kodesh Hilulim, but according, if we say that, we know that, again, we know there's an opinion that says only Kerem Revai. We don't know whether he holds the Rebbe's Zera Shava. If he does, then good. If he doesn't hold of it, and he has to learn from Hilul, then where is he learning a bracha from? And the Inami, Yalef Zera Shava, and even if he does learn a Zera Shava, Ashkecha Ma'achrav, even that is not necessarily talking about a bracha before it. It can be talking about a bracha after it. Again, Kodesh Hilulim, Hashem, that's fine. You make a bracha. And then just like that, Birkas Hamazon, as we just said, Berachalta V'Savalta V'Rachta, means that Deraita, you're only making a bracha after it. So then over here also, logically, we would assume the same thing. I mean, after you ate grapes, you make a bracha. Lefon of Minayin, where would we know a bracha before it? The whole point is we're trying to figure out where the brachas before it come from. Okay, so the Gemara says on that last one, a whole like kasha. Okay, that's not such a big question. Well, we haven't resolved all the questions. We still have a bunch of questions outstanding. But at least that last one, for the moment, we can answer, that's fine. You want to say, once we say that he could have an opinion that says that you could say that even if we say Kerem Revai, you could say there's a source for a bracha, namely because he has the Gzeira Shava to teach us that it applies to a vineyard, therefore he has the word Hilul available for a bracha. So you're saying in that case that it would be only an after bracha, but fine, that's not such a big question. To ask him a Kavachomer, that part we can learn from a Kavachomer, Kshus Taveya Mavarech, after all, the Torah tells us to make a bracha when you're satisfied. When you're hungry and you still realize how much more so that you need Hashem, then how much more so you should have to make a bracha. Okay, so maybe it is possible. Although of course we're not done yet. We still have the outstanding questions from before. But before we get to that, we're dealing with that last question first. If we're going to say that you have to make a bracha when it comes to grapes, that we're learning that from one of the hilvos. Even if we're going to say that, even if we're going to grant that, he agrees with Rebbe's Zera Shava from Tuasai, therefore he has a hilul available. Even if we say that it applies to grapes, and we're going to say it applies to a before bracha based on the Kal V'Chomer, what about other fruits? What about other things that you eat? So Ashkechan Kerem, that only works for wine, exactly. Ashkechan Kerem, so that only works for a vineyard. Shamin and Minayin, even if you're going to grant that he learns that way, but that only applies to grapes, where do we see that it applies to everything else? So the answer is okay. We could say Diyalef Mikerem. We could say, okay, he learns it by a Mamatino from a vineyard. Ma Kerem, Mamatino is another word for a vineyard. So ma kerem dovash a touch and nan of a tone bracha. A vineyard is something which you're enjoying the produce of it, and you have to make a bracha. Ach kol dovash a nan a tone bracha. So you would say the same thing, and it would apply more generally to anything that you have hana from. The problem is ikalam ifrach. If you're going to go that way, you could slog that up. Malakerem shekin chayav ba'olos. A vineyard has a unique din that does not apply to other kinds of produce, namely that the din of olalos applies to it, which you have to leave for the poor people. You look at a normal grapevine, it has a certain shape to it. It has what's called kesef, and it has netef. So you have, there's a couple of different explanations among Rishonim what they mean, but one explanation is that the grapevine begins wide on top. There's a bunch of grapes. You have a bunch of grapes attached to the individual stems, which are attached to smaller branches, which in turn you have one main branch that runs down the thing, and you have smaller branches branch off it. So out of the large one, you have other, you have branches spreading out, and because you have a lot of grapes on the cluster, the ones further up are like squeezed together, and they don't have room to drip down. They don't have room to be hanging down. They're next to each other on the top, one on top of the other. Then as you go down, it gets narrower and narrower, and eventually you have ones that look like they're dripping off the end. So that's where there's ones on top which are tightly packed together, and you have they're horizontally over there because there's no room for them to fall vertically because of the other grapes. Those are called kesef, and the ones on the bottom that look like they're dropping off are called netef.
Which
literally means a shoulder, and that just means like drooping down. So that's a normal grape. That's a normal cluster of grapes looks like that. On the other hand, an olalos is, olalos is a singular, is sometimes you have an immature cluster of grapes, where all it has like the one main stem, and you have individual grapes hanging off it here and there. So the thing is called olalos. So Rashi explains that in the pasuk. Like an olal means a baby. So it's like a baby cluster of grapes compared to the other mature ones. Those kind, the Torah tells us, you have to leave for the poor. So that's a unique din that applies only to grapes. So maybe you would say, therefore, that peah is something else. We're talking about olalos. So therefore, so you see that grapes have something unique on them. So maybe therefore they should also have only the unique din that they have to have a bracha. And what says, okay, come up, you can prove, on the other hand, from consider grain. We know that you have to make a bracha after eating grain, and to answer your question from before, Rashi explains, the previous pasuk mentioned Eretz Asher Lo Bimiskenus Terechaba Lechem, a land in which you won't have to eat bread with difficulty. In other words, you'll have plenty of food, and you'll have plenty of bread. So we see that V'achalta V'Savata V'Rachta primarily refers to bread. And the Torah tells us to make a bracha after it. And grain doesn't have olalos, so therefore you still have your mamathin. Okay, you could say malakama shekhen chayevis b'chala. On the other hand, you could say grain has a unique din that doesn't apply to other kinds of produce, that you have to take chala from it. Okay, the Gemara says, kerem yichiach. Okay, well, in that case, we can go back to grapes, where you don't have chala and you still need to make a bracha. Therefore, v'chazir adin. So, okay, so we're not making a binyan av because of echod. We're not doing it only based on grapes or only based on grain. We're going to do it on the combination. Binyan av m'shnei k'suvim. V'chazir adin. It goes back and forth. Loyri izeh ki rizeh, loyri izeh ki rizeh. Each one has a unique feature that does not apply to the other one. Grapes have olalos. The grain has chala. Each one has something different, and what do they both have in common? They're both things that you enjoy eating, the toh and bracha, and you see the Torah is telling us you have to make a bracha. Again, bread, because of a halt of a sabato verakta, grapes, apparently because of the hibul, which you have available, according to this way of looking at it. So then, akol, davashanana, toh and bracha. So you could say, then from that, you can learn anything else that you have hanah from requires a bracha. Okay, the problem with that still is mala atzada shava shadahan. Okay, but you could ask still that they still have another tzada shava, which other things don't have, shaken yeshbet, tzad mizbeach, because grapes and grain both have products of those that are offered on the mizbeach. You offer wine on the mizbeach, you offer flour on the mizbeach. So where would that apply to other kinds of produce that you don't? Okay, but also nami zayis is you have to have that. Not everything, just the opposite. It has to be that you have something which you have some. To make a binyan av, you have to have some feature which is not shared by the things that you're learning, that you're trying to learn the binyan av from, and yet you see they both have something in common, like we're doing over here between grain and grapes. One has olalos, one has challah, neither one has the other one's feature. We see they both require a bracha. So you can't say a bracha is only because you have the special din of oilus. It can't be a bracha is only because the special din yat chala. It must be because they're produce of the ground. It must be because they're produce that you eat and enjoy. But the problem with that is we could say that on the other hand, they have this in common. They're both offered on the Mizbeach. So you would say, okay, anything that is offered on the Mizbeach has to have a bracha. Where do we see that things that are not offered on the Mizbeach need a bracha? So okay, if we're going to learn that way, we could also include olives, and we could also include olives. The isbeit san mizbeach, because after all, olives also their product, oil is offered on the mizbeach. But where would we know everything else? So the Gemara interjects, one second, the zayis the san mizbeach. Also, what are you telling me? The only way to learn the only way to include olives would be based on this tzadah shava. You would say because they have a tzad mizbeach, because it's offered on the mizbeach. But how the heck you could take care of them? You find that a plantation of olives, an orchard of olives, is called keren. So if we said before we're learning from the word keren, then automatically that would include olives. Dichtiv vayavra migodesh vad kama of olives is called a keren. Dichtiv vayavra migodesh vad kama vad keren zayin. As we find a pasuk by Shimshon when he was burning down the Plishtim's field, that it says he burnt. One second. He burnt within the Goddish, the stacks of grain, the Ad Koma, the standing grain, the Ad Kerem Zayis, all the way to the Kerem of olives. So you see that a plantation of olives is called Kerem. However, Amar Papa, Kerem Zayis, Ikri Kerem Stomala Ikri. It's called Kerem Zayis. It's not just called Kerem without specification. The pasuk about the pasuk that we're mentioning before, where we learned the Gzera Shavu, Tvorsa Kerem, is only the word Kerem. So we learn only something which is called Kerem without any other adjective. Namely, it means only grapes. With Kerem Zayis, right. Okay. Mekol Mokom Kasha. Okay, we're still left with the question that we had before. Mala Sada Shava Shebehen Shekhen Yesh Behen Sad Mizbeach. That grain and grapes and olives, we're going to say also, all have a Sad Mizbeach. They all have something of them which is offered on Mizbeach. Where would you see that other things where nothing of them is offered on Mizbeach require a bracha? And of course, we still have the open questions left from before. That if we say kerem revai, if we say the whole concept of fourth year fruit applies only to grapes, and we were to say that he doesn't hold a Rebbe's Zera Shava, and he has to learn it from the word chilul, then where is he going to learn it from? So we still have that question open, which we're going to have to dispose. Right. Well, so right now we're dealing with the more immediate question that. Even if you're going to grant that he holds the Gzeira Shavah, therefore he has the word Hilul available, so fine, that'll get us grapes and grain and olives. Really, you see everything else. El of Yalaf Lav Shiva Samin. So rather, we're going to say that he's going to learn it from the Shiva Samin. We're going to say now that the Pasuk Yachalta V'Savata Re'afta does not refer only to bread like we thought. We're going to say that it actually applies to all the Shiva Samin, which I mentioned in the Pasuk before that. The shivas aminim are all things that you enjoy eating, and they all require a bracha. I've called them davish and nana tone bracha. Now, again, of course, we have to ask the question. So, of course, we have to ask, mal shivas aminim shaken chayevus bikurin. The fact is, shivas aminim have something special about them, namely that they're chayev shaken chayevus bikurin, because they're all chayev bikurin. You don't bring bikurin from other kinds of produce, only the shivas aminim. So, how can you apply that to everything else? And also, again, even if we were to grant that, we would say, okay, that answers things after the bracha, and still, how would we know that it gives us a bracha before? And again, the Gemara answers like it did before. Again, we can use the same kind of kavachomer as we did before. If you have to make a bracha when you're satisfied, how much more so when you're still hungry? Actually, Tosfos points out here and earlier in connection with the first time in the Gemara that we brought this, that the fact is the Gemara slugged up that Kavachomer. When we tried bringing that Kavachomer in the third parak to say that Brach is before food Adaraisa, and we slugged it up. But okay, here the Gemara is trying it anyway. That's still maybe at least you could try it.
What did you say over
there? We said over there that we tried to say over there that maybe the brach is before food are daraisa as well, and maybe that's why Rabbi Huda is saying that a Balkeri does say them, because after all they are daraisa and the Tachanas Chacham can't undo that. But we said that no, you can't do that because it's one thing to make a bracha We didn't try the same kavachomer. We tried a different kavachomer. We tried to make a kavachomer between Torah and food. If you have to make a bracha before Torah, it's more so before food. And you say that no, Torah is chayy olam. Food is not food. You have bodily hanah from Torah. You don't. So over here also, it's not over here. The fact is, it's not an actual kavachomer. We're going to end up saying that the Gemara is still trying to work out and trying to say that the bracha before is daraisa. The fact is, we're not going to end up there. But okay, the Gemara is still trying it. So the question is though, so now we still have a bunch of questions. First of all, okay, we still have outstanding the question from before, if we say that the one who holds Kerem Revai holds that you have to learn that it applies only to grapes from the word of Hibble, then he doesn't have a word available to teach us about the Baracha anyway. Even if we grant that he holds the Gzeir Shava, then how do we know it applies to anything outside the Shiva Kamini? And now another question, Olamandatoni Neseravai, furthermore, even according to the opinion that says that fourth year produce, that the din of it applies to all kinds of trees, not just grapes, and then we were granting before that in that case he has the word Hilul available, so he has it available to teach us about a bracha. But no, because even so, Hotenach called the Bar Natia, fine, he would say that applies to anything that can be planted in the ground. The La Bar Natia, things that are not planted in the ground, during Bosa Beitz in the Dugim, for example, meat or eggs or fish, Minole, where would he learn it from? So now we have a bunch of questions. Okay, the Gemara disposes of all of them. Ella Svarahu? No, the answer is you're wrong. You were assuming all this time that the bracha before it is Daraisa. The Machshon who was bringing up this whole point. Or even the Stamma de Gemara, when we first brought up the Braisa Kodesh Hilulim Mashem, and we wanted to say from there you learn a bracha, so no, it's not so. The pasuk that we brought before is only an asnachta. The whole concept of brachas before food is the Rabbanon, and svarahu, it's a logical svara. Also lo'adam, shi'ohanim, and olam hazeh b'lo'i bracha. A person is not allowed to enjoy something from this world without a bracha. But that's it, it's just a svara, therefore it's only the Rabbanon, no source in the Torah, therefore it's not daraisa. So that disposes of all of our questions, and we don't care whether you have a word hilul available, because we're not learning from there anyway, it's only that's not so. We don't say that in that case it should apply only to things that grow in the ground or only the Shiva Thamim, because it applies more generally, all other things you have Hanoah from as well.
That, of course, applies to all the things that do not require Brach.
No, we're saying all the things. No, so we're saying, in other words, again, so you have Birkas HaMazon as Daraisa on bread, but on everything else, all other after Brachas, and all brachas before are derabbanan. Actually, okay, you have Rishonim who say that still this that we said over here that we talked about over here that you could derive that v'achalta the savata, maybe you refer to all the shivas aminim, maybe that still remains daraisa. It's a suffix. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah points out an interesting thing on it. Usually, suffix daraisa, we know suffix daraisa lakumra, suffix derabbanan lakula. Usually, therefore, if a person has a suffix whether he made a bracha, he wouldn't say it over again. If a person doesn't know whether he benched, he has to bench again because that's daraisa. What happens? A person ate mizonos, or a person ate grapes, or other shivas aminim, or what have you, and he's not sure if he made the after bracha. If we say daraisa, he would have to again. If it's not, then not. So the Mishnah Berurah actually says what you should do in that case to be on the safe side: eat some more of that thing, eat some more grapes, or eat some more mizonos or whatever, and that way you'll have to make the bracha after it for sure, and that way you'll be okay. Well, no, it's not even a question of a savasar. You ate some grapes. Now you're not sure if you said the after bracha. So now you have opinions that say the after bracha is daraisa, and therefore you should be making it. So eat some more grapes, and then that way you'll be able to make the bracha for an official. Okay. As far as the question of kerem revai and neter revai, the halacha is like the opinion that says neter revai, that it applies to all trees, not just vines. However, Tosfos points out that as in chutzal oretz, it's different. You have a rule that the Gemara mentions elsewhere. Whenever you have a machloikis regarding something involving the mitzvahs of floitis ba'aretz, neser avai being one of them, and you have where that particular din applies in chutz la'aretz as well, then we go according to the more lenient opinion. Since here we have an opinion that says it applies only to vines, then in chutz la'aretz it applies only to vines. Fine. So the Gemara says, okay, expanding on this point that we just said, that you're not allowed to have hanah from this world without a bracha, turn it on. Also, lo la'odim shi'ohanim in ha'olam hazeh v'lo bracha. A person is not allowed to have hanah from this world without a bracha. By the way,
the
so ultimately we said it's a svara. Right. Now, when we, by the way, now we're not talking about, when, for example, we know a person doesn't make bracha on many hanoyos of the world. You don't make hana, you don't make a bracha when you take a bath, you don't make hana when you don't make a bracha when you hear nice music or whatever. Basically, the idea is you don't make a bracha on something intangible, unless your body has hana from it, or your neshama has hana from it, that we're going to learn later on in the Masech there about smells, that you know how you make a bracha, borim and asamim, and the various ones of those. But, yeah. Okay. If a person has hanah from this world without making a bracha, then he's committed ni'ilah. He's like used the hektish without paying for it. My takante, what should he do to fix it up? Yelech eto chacham. He should go to a chacham. He should go to a time of chacham. And that's what I mean. Yelech eto chacham. My avidle, what's the chacham supposed to do for him? Ha avidle is still at this point. He's already done the isur. So what's the chacham going to help? El Amar Rava, no. What Rava says, it means Yelech eto chacham ni'ikra. It means beforehand, before he's going to eat something, he should be going to a chacham, the yilamden of brachas. And the chacham should teach him what the various respective brachas are. Kedei shalai yavad idei mi'ilah. This way it'll forestall the issue, and he won't come to mi'ilah in the first place. And by the way, I mean, the halachas of brachas are one of those things, you know, I mean, we learn them, you know, when we start learning about brachas when we're 3 and 4 years old, you know, and we make them almost, you know, almost without thinking about it. But we're going to see in our Pedek that the halachas of brachas actually have quite a bit of complication to them, what bracha you say on different things at different times.
Okay. That's why we have to learn them.
That's why we have to learn them, yeah. Okay. Person who has hana from this world without a bracha, we said before he's committed me'ilah, it's as if he had hana from the kodshim of Hashem without permission. Meaning, in other words, it goes beyond me'ilah. The flak points out. Me'ilah can also apply to a neder. Well, that's the flak points that out. He says me'ilah could apply also to something that's forbidden by a neder. Kodshe shamayim is actual hektish. Because the pasuk says, the earth and everything that fills it up belongs to Hashem. Rav Levi in that connection pointed out a contradiction in Tzimtzukim. Ksiv la'ashema oratim loya. You have a pasuk that says the earth and everything that's in it belongs to Hashem. Uchtiv, but you have another pasuk, Shemayim Shemayim la'ashem ba'earth matan l'bnei Adam. The heavens are Hashem's heavens, and the earth he gave to people. So what is it? The answer is, like Kasha, kan kodim bracha, kan la'acha bracha. One is talking about before you make the bracha, then it belongs to Hashem, and after the bracha, then, so to speak, you've paid Hashem for it, and then now it belongs to you, and you could eat it.
It still belongs to Hashem.
Yeah, obviously it belongs, but Hashem gives us permission to eat it. He gave it to Bnei Adam. Okay. Rav Chanina bar Papa says in that connection, kol anenim in olam hazeh b'loy bracha, a person who enjoys something from olam hazeh without making a bracha, kilu gozel la'kadosh baruch hu knesset Yisrael. It's as if he's stealing from Hashem, and as he's stealing from the Jewish people. How is he stealing from Hashem? Rashi says he's stealing the bracha that belongs to Hashem. How is he stealing from the Jewish people? Rashi says, because when the Jewish people are doing averus, then Hashem sometimes sends a punishment where the produce of that year gets damaged, whether by winds or hail or whatever kind of disasters that can befall it. So therefore, he's stealing from the Jewish people because he's causing that that's going to happen, that everybody's going to lose, that everybody's going to lose their crops. Shenemah, you have a pasuk in Mishlei. Goizel of Ve'ima, a person who steals from his father and his mother, Ve'omer Ein Kosha, and he says there's nothing wrong with it. Chaver Hu Le'ish Mashchit, he is a friend, he is a colleague of the destroying man. Now, why is that? Rashi says, in other words, the point is, when he eats without making a bracha, other people are going to learn also that you don't have to say bracha, so you can just pop the food into your mouth. So therefore, it becomes a widespread thing, and therefore it causes this problem of that haperis loikin. So he's a friend, he's a colleague of the destroyer, meaning that he's causing other people to do averus like a destructive person that we're going to talk about in a minute.
Your child, if he doesn't do it, you have to be...
Look, I mean, you have a mitzvah of chinuch to your child. You have, you know, you have midaraisa, obviously a child is not chayav of mitzvahs until they're bar bat mitzvah.
Yes,
so once they are, then their responsibility, yeah, you have to tell them. But
how do you tell them?
Whichever one will work with the particular kid. That is no one size fits all rules, like many other things. The Ein Aviv El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for purposes of this pasuk, the when it says he steals from his father and his mother, his father refers to Hashem. Shenema Haloi Hu Avicha Kanecha, as the pasuk says, isn't he your father who owns you? So we see Hashem is referred to as our father. Ve'in imay of Knesset Yisrael, the imay of the pasuk that he steals from refers to the Jewish people. Shenem Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'altitash Teres Yimecha. Listen, my son, to the Musar of your father, and don't abandon the Torah of your mother, meaning the Torah that was given to your mother, the Jewish people. And Marshall points out an interesting thing, by the way. The Langerhof can have a gematria of 500. The Ender Osius, the five Ender Osius Mansapach, also have numerical values. They can Langerhof as 500, Schlossman as 600, etc. So if we do that over here, Aleph Mem Langerhof adds up to 541, which is the same gematria as Yisrael. Okay. My Chovahuli, Marshall says that. My chovahula ishmashchis. We said that the pasuk continues that a person who does that, who steals from his father and his mother, meaning we just said that he doesn't say bracha, so he's stealing from Hashem and from the Jewish people. We said he's a colleague of the destroying person. Who? What does that mean? Such a person is a colleague of Yerovam and Nebat, who destroyed the Jewish people relative to Hashem, because he put up the Eglei Azahav and caused them to sink into Avodah Zarah. So a person who doesn't make brachos is a choti umachti yasad Adam, again, because other people are going to learn from him, so therefore in that sense he's like Yerovam.
I mean, it's a...
Well, you know, there's
a stretch comparison,
in other words, there's a continuum over there. There's a continuum of between a person who doesn't make brachas, who therefore is saying, in effect, everything belongs to us. We don't need Hashem. There's a continuum between that. And Yerovam ben Nebat, he's telling the people, you don't need your shalayim and you don't need the Beis Mikdash anymore, and you can. Yeah. Rav Chanina bar Papa Rami. Rav Chanina bar Papa, in this connection, pointed out a contradiction to Pesukim. You have a nevuah in Hosea where he says that I am going to take my grain away in its time. Hashem is saying, in other words, I'm going to punish you that there's not going to be a grain crop. So Hashem calls it my grain. But on the other hand, in Shema, we say you should gather in your grain. So what is it? Does it belong to us or does it belong to Hashem? And the answer is, like Kasha, can Mizman she Yisrael Oisin return to Shamakim? One is talking about where the Jewish people are following Hashem's will, then Hashem gives us the grain. Well, it includes a bracha, but in general, when we're following Hashem, when we're doing what Hashem wants, then the grain belongs to us. The other one is talking about when the Jewish people don't, then Hashem takes it away and demonstrates that it was mine all along.
So what does that include?
So includes, in other words, when people aren't making brachas, but it includes, I mean, more generally, the Navi is upgrading the Jewish people over there for various averus that they're doing, so yeah. Okay. V'asafta d'ganecha masav ha'boimer. Let's look at that pasuk, v'asafta d'ganecha, in Kurishma. What are we learning from that pasuk? Why does it need to say v'asafta? Now, okay, Rashi on the pasuk means the bracha, that not only the grain will grow, but you'll be able to harvest it, not that your enemies will, but still, the Gemara is bothered by, the Tzlach explains, that the Gemara could have just as well said, it doesn't need to say v'yosafta, that you'll gather it in. So what are we learning from that? So like this, l'fish nema lo yomush sefer atorah zemikricha. You have a pasuk that says, Hashem says to Yeshua, this sefer of the Torah should not move away from your mouth. In other words, you have to be learning Torah all the time. Yomush means to move away. You would think that means literally a person has to be learning Torah all the time and has no time for anything else. Therefore, the pasuk says you will gather in your grain, meaning meaning you have to act in the normal way of the world. You have to have a job. You have to gather in your grain. Well, the point is, the Torah is telling you in this parasha that don't think you should only be learning Torah. You need to do derech eretz as well. And in fact, Rashi says, because if you don't gather in your grain, then you're not going to have what to live off of. Then you're not going to be able to learn Torah either. So that's what we're learning from us after the Ganecha. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's what Rabbi Shmuel says, that the Torah is telling us that a person has to work and earn parnas.
One second. Are we implying that really the bracha comes first by working and after the Ganecha, and then...
It means that the Torah is telling us, says Rabbi Shmuel, the proper way to do is you're learning Torah, but you're also working. You're doing both. You're setting aside time for learning Torah, and as the Gemara is going to say soon, you still consider your Torah your more important pursuit. Your Torah is an end in itself. Your work is a means to an end, but nevertheless, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, that's what the Torah tells you have to do.
Are they contiguous, or are they...
What do you mean contiguous? So you have...
One comes after the other.
You do each one in its proper time. That's what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy, Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy says, no, it can't be. extra autumn chodesh b'sas charisha. How could it be a person is going to be plowing when it's time to plow? V'zareya b'shas ziria, and planting when it's time to plant. V'kotze b'shas ziria, and harvesting when it's time to harvest. V'dosh b'shas disha, and threshing. V'zorda b'shas ruach, and winnowing when there's wind. If a person is going to be doing that, he's going to be so busy with agricultural work. Toda matahei olah. What's going to happen with his learning toda? He's not going to have time for it. So how can you, Rabbi Shmuel, be saying that a person has to go minag derech eretz and be working and earning parnos? So with that, you're not going to have time for learning Torah. Ella, no, says Rabbi Shimon, bizman sheyisrael oisin retzonish al-mokim. It means like this: when the Jewish people are following what Hashem wants, then yes, this work has to be done, of course. Somebody has to be doing the plowing and planting and so on and so forth, but it'll be done by others. It'll be done by goyim for them. As you have a pasuk in Mashiach times, as the pasuk says, strangers will stand up and pass through your sheep. That's the most of Mashiach. But the goyim will. Okay, so that's Rabbi Shimon is saying that's the ideal way. You, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying the ideal way is well after the ganacha. So Rabbi Shimon, no, that's not the ideal. That's the less ideal. When the Jewish people are not doing what it means, you know, we'll have the full thing of that the Mosa Mashiach. But even before that, says Rabbi Shmuel, any time in history that Yisrael are doing Oisin Rasonish Hamakim properly, then they'll have Acherim that will be doing the work for them. When the Jewish people are not following Hashem's ways properly, then malach and nafas ayde atzma, and then they have to do their work for themselves. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is saying that is the second best option. It's not like Rabbi Shmuel is saying that's the normal way of doing things. That's only the b'dieved option, is v'al safti ganecha. And Rabbi Shimon says not only that, if the Jewish people don't follow what Hashem wants, then they end up doing work for other people instead of for themselves. As you have in the Tosafot, where it says you will have to serve your enemies. So we see that there's machlokas what it means. According to Rabbi Shmuel, v'yasaf v'ganecha is the proper and normal way of doing things, that you work for a living. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's only the b'dieved option. Ideally, it should be that you should not be v'yasaf v'ganecha, that other people are doing it for you. So what do you do in practice? We'll talk about in a second. But actually, Tosfos brings up a point over here. What do you mean that the fact of the ganecha, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is when ein osin retzonu shel malchim? The pesukim begin over there. V'hayem shamaya tishmur am mitzvotai. If you listen to my mitzvot, what do you mean according to him, the fact of the ganecha is only the b'dieved thing if you're not listening? So Tosfos says, we said that Rabbi Chanan bar Papa had said that v'asaf of the ganecha is referring when osin retzonu shel malchim, as opposed to when not osin retzonu that Hashem takes it away. Okay, Tosfos says, okay, listen, I mean, there are different levels of Oisei Ritzone. There can be people who are following Hashem's ways, but not fully. Marashah expands on that. There's a lot of different explanations in this. Marashah says another point is that in V'hoyim Shemaya, you notice it says, La'avar Hashem Lekechem b'chol l'avdoi, b'chol l'vavchem b'chol napshechem. But unlike in the first parasha, it doesn't say anything about Ma'odchem. In the first parasha, you have b'chol l'vavchem b'chol napshechem b'chol l'aydecha. Here it doesn't say Ma'odchem. Therefore, in the second parasha, in Vayim Shemayim. So therefore, says Marsha, we're talking about people. Okay, they are serving Hashem, sure, they are, but they're not putting all their money into it, as it's supposed to be. Ma'idecha, we're going to learn in the last parak, one meaning of it is all your money. So therefore, says such people, they're not on a high enough level, says Reb Shimon, that they should have this chos that goyim are doing their work for them. They're going to have to do it themselves.
But the ones who are,
they indeed would have the bracha that other people are doing their work for them, and they're able to learn, and they would be the ones who are able to learn Torah full time. And Limos Mashiach, it'll be that way. Well, one second, we're going to talk about what we have today. There's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe that talks about how can we say that when we say is Yisrael Oisin, so he explains by Pichlidus that it means also the spiritual harvest that we do of harvesting sparks of Kedusha from the world. So that's also when Oisin is Tzonish HaMakim. Omer Abaye. So what's the bottom line? What should we do? Should we follow Rabbi Shmuel's opinion and everybody has to work for a living? Or should we follow Rabbi Shimon that you're supposed to be learning Torah all the time? Omer Abaye, harbit also could Rabbi Shmuel, but also be other. Many people followed what Rabbi Shmuel says, that you work for a living and you learn Torah in between, or even while you're working, but also be other. And it worked out. They were able to make a living and they were able to learn Torah. And by the way, again, to ask what you were saying, there's a concurrent or whatever. You have, for example, a couple of stories involving Rabbi Yamin Kletzker, a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, where, for example, one time he was adding up his accounts for his business, and he gets to the total line, and instead of writing a numeric total, he writes Eino Milvader. Because that was what was on his mind at the time. You have another story involving him, where he's standing over there in Riga, watching them, supervising them, loading up the rafts that he made his living from, for the wood. They're turning into rafts, which are going to be floated elsewhere, whatever. And while he's he starts getting deeply involved in thinking about sins. And they ask him, what happens? You're supposed to be busy in business. He says, listen, if it happens, sometimes a person can be saying Shema and thinking about the fair in Leipzig, then I can be doing my work and thinking about all the courses. So that's the way it should be.
Who was that?
This is Rabbi Yamin Klexter, a chassid of the Alter Rebbe.
Where
was he? He was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. I don't know. Where, he certainly wasn't in America. He certainly wasn't in Australia. Come on, he was in some city in Poland, in Russia. I don't know. Okay, anyway. So many people followed Rabbi Shmuel's advice and combined Divrei Torah with Derech Eretz, and they were successful. On the other hand, many people tried to follow what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, and they weren't successful. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody should do it. In every generation, you have the individual, Yechidei Segula, who are on the level that, yes, they can follow Rabbi Shimon's opinion. They can be learning Torah full-time and melach them nasas al-yidei. You have a famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah of Yovel, for example, where he says that Shevet Levi was reserved for that purpose, and therefore they don't work the land, and the Jewish people give them Matanis Kahuna and Levia. And the Rambam says, not only Shevet Levi, but anyone whose heart uplifts them, any volunteers to be like that, to serve of Hashem full time, then Hashem will arrange for them. So there are those minority of people. So it's case by case. So there are those minority who are able to follow Rav Shimon, but it's not a derech for everybody, says Abaya. Actually, the Baal Shem Tov says a vort on that. He says when we say Habe Osti to Rav Shimon, means many people are doing it only because Rav Shimon said so. They're just trying to copy Rav Shimon, not because they really feel that Torah is the most important thing. And such people, then they don't end up So in that connection, Rava says to the Chachamim, his Talmidim, "V'matusam inayichu, I plead of you, b'yomim nisin of yomim tishrei, l'tishkazu kamoi, during the days of nisin and tishrei, don't appear before me to learn Torah, because those are the months when the harvest, those are the months when the harvest and wine pressing and whatever takes place, and you need to be at home then and working on that. That way you won't be bothered about how you're going to have parnasa for the rest of the year. So you make sure to reserve those times for the agricultural things that have to be done, and the rest of the year you'll be able to learn Torah by me. Okay. Still, we have to put things in perspective. Yes, we're saying that the general, because for most people, they have to follow what Rabbi Shmuel was saying and combine Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, like I said in Derech Eretz, Yofa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. But we have to keep things in perspective. Come see that the way it was in earlier generations is not like the way it is in later generations in our times. In the earlier generations, they had their perspectives right. They made their Torah was the main focus of their life. That was the keva. That was the fixed thing. And the melacha was arai, was a casual thing. Okay, I got to do it, but I'm not getting focused on that. And zuva zuna skaim of the other, and both of them were preserved. Their melacha was successful, and their Torah was successful. Doras achronim shalos melachs and keva teros and arai. In the later generations, they made their melacha as their main focus. That's the fixed thing, and their Torah is arai. Okay, I get around to it. When I get around to it, zuva zuna skaim of the other, and both of them are not being preserved by them. Their melacha is not successful, and their Torah is not so successful either. As you have the famous expression that I think it was the Rebbe Rashab said to somebody who had opened a factory for making overshoes, and he was very, very involved in it. The chassid of the Rebbe Rashab had a factory for making overshoes, galoshes, and he was very, very deeply into the business. So one time the Rebbe Rashab said to him, I've heard of people putting their feet into galoshes. I never heard of somebody putting their head into galoshes. In other words, he was one of these people who, as the Gemara is saying over here, didn't have his priorities straight about where his head should be. Another example where we see that in later generations they're not on the high level of the earlier generations. In the earlier generations, when they finished harvesting and processing and whatever their produce, they would bring it into the house through Traxamine, which means Rashi says through the gates of the chotzer into the house, in order to make that produce chayev and meister. Because minat Torah, only when it comes into the house, after Gvar Malacha, we mentioned this briefly the other day, then they're chayev and meister. As opposed to Traxima means it means the front entrance of the house. Dorisachra.
It's a Greek word.
It's a Greek word, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe not. Actually, we had in the story of Trilos Arvis Rishus, in the story of the deposition of Rav Gamliel and so forth, we had an expression there, Troiku Gali, where Rav Akiva says to them, close the doors. The word Troik means to close up. So Traxima then means the closed up entrance of the front of the house. Okay. Dorisachra, in the later generations, Machnus and Perisan, they're Gagos, they bring in their produce instead by way of the roof. Der chaser, so they bring it in through the chaser. Der kapefer, so they bring it in through the back entrance, through the enclosed area. Kirla poitra and a meister. In that way, they figure it'll be poitra from meister, and this way on a daraisa level, the rabbanim they also take meister from it. But at least this way, they can before they take truma and meister from it, they're able to eat a snack from it. They're able to feed it to their animals, as we learned the other day. So that's dirtus achronim. Try to get out of things. And we see that the Amr of Yana in a tevel mischayv and meister achi yiruf nambay tevel becomes chayv and meister only when it sees the front of the house. Should never be out yet kodesh min abayis, as the pasuk says by vidri meister, the person says I have removed the kodesh from the house. So you see that there's an association. When does it become chayv and meister sheni, which is what we mean by kodesh over here, when it comes into the house. Rav Yechanan Amar Afilu Chotek Kevas. Rav Yechanan says actually it becomes chayev in truma and meiser daraisa even when you bring it into the chotzer. Shenem of ocho b'sharecha v'saveu. Because the pasuk says you should eat it, that the poor people will eat the meiser in your gates and be satisfied. So we see that once it's been brought into the gate of Rav Yechanan, yeah, the halacha is that on a daraisa level, once it's brought through the front, once it's brought into the house, then it becomes chayev in truma and meiser, and you can't eat a snack from it. Once gmar malacha has been done, if you have gmar malacha was done in the case of grain, for example, when you did miruach, then you brought it in to the front of the house, through the front of the house, then it becomes chayev in truma and meiser on the daraisa level, and you're not allowed to eat a snack from it. When it was brought in through some other way, then it's only chayev in the drabanam. So therefore, you're still allowed to eat a snack from it. You're still allowed to feed it to your animals, and only then will you have to take truma and meiser. Okay, but the point is the earlier generations didn't try to get around things like that. They did things the right way, and then later generations not so much. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Chutz min ha-yayim, before, we said that on all produce of trees, you say Baruch Priya 8, except for wine, gets a bracha of its own, Baruch Priya, gets a special bracha of its own, Baruch Priya Gopin. So the question is, Mishnah yayim, why is wine different? Why does it get a special bracha of its own? Are you going to say because it's been changed for the better, wine is more important and better and more expensive and whatever than grapes? And you're going to say therefore ishtani lebracha, therefore its bracha also changes to a special bracha. Well then, v'harei shemen, what about olive oil? Also de ishtani le'iluya. Olive oil is better than olives, v'lo ishtani lebracha. But it's not changed as far as the bracha. To amr of Yehuda amr shmol, v'chein amr of Yitzchok amr of Yechanan, shemen zayis mevorach and olive boyer priya. If you drink shemen zayis by itself, and we'll deal with in the Gemara later on, which we'll learn tomorrow night, that's the shem.
Just by itself.
We're going to learn what the case is. How is a person drinking olive oil by itself? So then we'll deal with that at the end of this almond, at the beginning of the next almond. But the point is, in principle, shemen zayis, you make Baruch Priya'is on it. You don't say there's a special bracha for olive oil. So why not? If you're saying that the point is that it was changed for the good, then it should have a special bracha of its own. The answer is Baruch Priya'is. Mevorach another Baruch Priya'is. Amri, the answer is, they say, Hosim Mishum de la'efshir. The reason why oil doesn't get a special bracha of its own is because it's impossible. How would you formulate the bracha? Heichi nivrech. Nivrech Baruch Priya'is. Should you say, like you do for grape, for wine, you say Baruch Priya Gopin. The same way here you would say Baruch Priya Zayis. The problem with that is, with grapes, that works. Because there's a difference between the grapevine, which is called Gefen, and the fruit of it, which is called Anovim, or Anov in the singular. When it comes to olive trees, it's not like that. The olive tree is called Zayis. The fruit is also called Zayis. Now, you can't be making... Now, it's one thing, when you're saying Baruch Priya Gopin, you're thanking Hashem that he made the fruit of the vine, namely the grapes. And then from those grapes, you pressed out wine. You're not making a bracha directly on the wine. You're not saying Bore Hayayin, because Hashem himself didn't create the wine. Human beings made it. So the same way over here, we should have to say a bracha that would acknowledge that Hashem created the fruit of the olive tree, and then in turn we took that fruit and made it into oil. But the problem is the word zayis, peter go for zayis, agree. The same word zayis is used for the tree and for the fruit. So that
Geffen is
a grapevine.
It means wine.
No, Geffen means a grape. No. Grape. No. Stop. Geffen has one meaning. It means a grapevine. Bura Kri HaGofen means Hashem. The grape itself is another. So when we say Bura Kri HaGofen, we're saying Hashem created the fruit of the vine, namely the grapes, and then we took over and turned it into wine. But by Zayis, you can't do that. So the question is, okay, the Gemara says, so what's the problem? Okay, so let the Chacham formulate the bracha. The Hashem who created the fruit of the olive tree, and then it would be exactly parallel to wine. Now, Ela Omer Mazutra, so there has to be a different reason. Why is wine special in a way that olive is not? So Ela Omer Mazutra, rather Mazutra says, Chamra Zayin Mishcholoi Zayin. The difference is that wine is nutritious and olive oil is not. Now, I know you're thinking, hold on, so hold that thought, okay. So the Gemara, one second. Okay, I know what you're going to say. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mishcholoi Zayin, what do you mean? Oil is not nutritious? We learn in a Mishnah that a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat mazon. He's allowed to drink water. He's allowed to eat salt because those are not considered to be nutrition. So we discuss that in the Gemara and Nedarim. So the implication is that only water and salt are not considered mazon. Implying that everything else is called mazon. In which case, the problem, name a tab, tiyuf to Rav Shmuel, wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rav Shmuel, the Amri, Ein Mevorchen, Borim Minim Azonis, Ela Behei Haminim Dovad, that you say Borim Minim Azonis only on the five kinds of grain?
Everything else.
And Ravona clarifies, but Omer, we're not talking about actually the person said Minam Mazon. You're right, Minam Mazon would only include those, anything that's Mazonis. But it means, but Omer Kola Zona, anything that provides nutrition is also to me. So we see Alma Mishcha Zayin. So we see, since olive oil is not an exception, we see it's also nutritious. No. We're going to answer like this. Chamra Soyid or Mishcholoi Soyid. Rather, the answer is that wine, Soyid means Meloshin Soda. It fills a person up. A person drinks wine, he feels full. A person drinks olive oil, he doesn't. What do you mean? Drinking wine makes a person feel full? We find the opposite. We find that Rava would drink wine throughout the day on Erev Pesach. This way it'll whet his appetite, it'll stimulate his appetite, and he'll eat a lot of matzah at night. So therefore, so we see that just the opposite. Wine makes you more hungry. The answer is tshuva gorer purta soid. The answer is yes. Drinking a lot of wine stimulates your appetite. Drinking a little bit of wine makes you feel full. And that's actually the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If you're going to drink wine on Erev Pesach, you've got to drink a lot of it. Enough that it'll whet your appetite, not the other way around, that you'll feel full and then you won't want to eat myself. Yeah, okay, well, okay, when we say a lot, we're not talking a whole bottle or something, we're talking about like a couple of rivias or whatever, three quarters of a log, I think, yeah. Okay, fine. So far, we're going to say that that's the difference. Wine fills you up, therefore it gets a special bracha, oil doesn't. The question is, what do you mean, wine makes you feel full at all? You have a pasuk that says wine makes a person's heart happy, as we said on Amud Aleph, the lechem levav enish yisad v'gemer, and bread satisfies the heart of a person, implying namahu desoid chamer loisoid, implying only bread has that quality, and wine does not. So it can't be that that's why the Chachamim established a special bracha for wine. Now, el chamri is beitarki. The answer is that wine has two advantages over oil. What it is that wine has two advantages. Yes, wine has two advantages. It fills you up and it also makes you happy. So why is the pasuk contrasting it with bread, implying that wine does not fill you up? Because nam misad soid samuchi lo misameach. Bread fills you up, but it doesn't make you happy. So when the pasuk is saying v'lechem levav enish yisad, it doesn't mean wine doesn't do that also. It means bread only makes you full. Wine, in addition, is yisamach. Okay, so the question is, if you're going to say that wine is even better than bread, you should have to say the whole benching when you drink wine. Why do we only say bracha and sholosh? The answer is still fine. Like kavi inshi still josayu al ilave. Fine, but nobody makes a meal where the main course is wine, as opposed to you make a meal where the main course is bread. What if an individual person does do that? What if he decides one day, I'm going to have a meal where wine is the main course? omelet, like you have wine and cheese parties, I guess, I don't know. Omelet, when the Yohan Rabbi comes and tells us whether that's considered a clear, then we can deal with it. Hash to me a bottle dike, so call them right now, as matters stand right now, where his das is bottled to everybody else. Most people don't do that. We go according to what most people do. Most people make bread the main pay, the centerpiece of their meal, not wine. Therefore, bread gets birkas hamazon and wine does not. But so far, what we're saying is, the fact is, wine has an advantage, but the point is, wine, therefore, has an advantage over oil. So it's not, so wine has an advantage over oil because it fills you up and it makes you happy. Oil has neither of the above. Therefore, oil, yes, it is better than the olives that it came from, but it still doesn't get upgraded in the bracha. It still remains bar priyai, whereas wine gets upgraded to bar priyai gadol. Okay, and then the next piece of the Gemara, which we'll learn on Matzah Shabbos, as Hashem, we'll deal with what exactly is the scenario where a person is drinking oil and making Bar Priya Eitzanin anyway. Okay.